Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good evening, everyone. We have breaking news. You probably heard about it earlier today. They have now updated us with what has happened in Brooklyn Center. I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. My son, Michael, will be joining us soon, but we wanted to get this news out to you. The Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension is investigating after a Brooklyn Center police officer fatally shot a driver during a traffic stop today, this afternoon, in fact. Now, according to the Brooklyn Center Police Department, officers pulled a car over for a traffic violation just before 2 p.m. this afternoon, and that was near 63rd Avenue North and Orchard Avenue in Brooklyn Center. Police say the officers determined the driver had an outstanding warrant, and the driver tried to get back in the vehicle while they were trying to make an arrest. At that point, an officer then shot the driver, and the car kept driving for several blocks before crashing into another vehicle. So that's the gist of it. However, I want you to know that there was someone in the car with this young man who was shot and killed. There was someone in the car when the woman was in the car and that ran into another vehicle, and that person was not injured. So that's good news. However, this is all on top of the Chauvet trial, which, of course, is going to begin again tomorrow. This is the frustrating thing. It never seems to stop. It never seems to stop. Now, we do have some of our reporters here at CCO and around the state, specifically the Twin Cities metro area, that has been out and they've been tweeting. And I'm going to shoot this over to Jonathan Lowe to give us an update on the tweets.
Thank you, Geraldine. So there have been a couple of reporters that we've been focused on as far as what's going on in Brooklyn Center right now. There have been people gathering outside of the police station in Brooklyn Center protesting. Police have come out of the building. There have been tear gas flares and flashbangs used on the crowd. This has been reported by and being reported on by David Schumann of WCCO Television. He is right now at the scene looking into what's going on. Nina Moyney from Minnesota Public Radio is also at the scene right now, and she is basically going on Twitter right now and giving updates on what's happening with all of these situations, the situation that's happening at the Brooklyn Center Police Department. We are going to continue to keep an eye on this, see if anything continues to develop. I know all of the television news stations right now locally are following this. And again, as Geraldine said, on the heels of the Derek Chauvin trial that continues tomorrow, this is an area where people might be a little bit more tense. So as people are saying, you want to stay calm. You want to stay peaceful in this situation, and hopefully nothing bad comes out of this. But we're going to continue to keep a monitor on this to see what's going on. And again, David Schumann from WCCO Television, Nina Moyney from Minnesota Public Radio, those are the people tweeting right now on scene in Brooklyn Center.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Here's the problem. This is a young man, African-American, Dante Wright. Do I have that correct, Jonathan?
Yes, correct.
Okay. And his mother found out that he was shot dead while the girlfriend who was in the front seat, I think the passenger seat, that's why the car was moving on its own and it hit someone else. That other person is fine, but the girlfriend, I believe, is in North Memorial Hospital. So here we are once again dealing with a police officer's killing another African-American young man. And it is so frustrating. My understanding is that he was thinking about running. No one is saying why. But here we are once again with the Chauvin trial. And I promise you, tomorrow morning is another day. And that day may be peaceful and it may not, depending on what went on tonight. Why was this young man killed? And once again, a girlfriend in the front seat having to witness this. And there he lied on the ground while his mother is trying to call and talk to her. The girlfriend had called the mother. She's trying to tell her what's going on. And she had to tell her, the mother, his mother, that he is lying lifeless on the ground. I don't know what it will take to stop this madness. It used to be that a police officer, if they were chasing or they were in pursuit of someone, then they would like try to maybe shoot them in the leg and stop them from running. No, not now. They shoot to kill, period. I've been told by police officers that I have great relationships with that sometimes we have to shoot to kill because we don't know what they are armed with. Some of these people are armed with more than what we're armed with. Then what should the process be if you're going to go after a person, if you're going to pursue a person, then why not say, if you're still going after them, why not give updates on why you're doing this? What did this person do exactly? It's very frustrating. I'd like to bring my son, Michael Battle, on. I believe he's on hold right now. Is that correct, Jonathan?
He's now on the line.
Michael Battle,
yes,
welcome back to CCO. I don't know if you've been seeing this on television or hearing it on the radio there in Los Angeles, but you and I both know that this is a consistent story that never seems to end. It's the song that never ends. It's the tears that never end. And we keep hearing more and more and more about this happening as though there is no end. I mean, I hurt because I think that they are hunting men like you, that they are hunting women like me. And I don't know what to do with all of this pain. So as you hear what's happening here in the Twin Cities, did you hear part of that story?
Yes, yeah, so I heard you and Jonathan just talking about it right now, and that's actually the first time I heard that this event had happened up there in the Twin Cities. So this is new to me, and it's heartbreaking to hear the story. I'm, you know, interested to hear more of the details. But frankly, I'm not surprised. That's why we were marching this summer. And as you and Jonathan mentioned those earlier stories, this behavior is consistent in our country. And until there is actual justice, appropriate consequences for these murders, there's not going to be any peace. We said it in the marches this summer. The world's eyes are on the Chauvin trial right now, because I think everyone knows. I mean, it's the elephant in the room. If justice is not served, it might very well be the undoing of part of our system. Because to your point, well, if there's no consequence to repeatedly, systemically murdering African Americans, well, then what's the point? So I don't want to call it hope. I'm wishing, that's the word I'll use. I'm wishing that our justice system will actually function correctly for the very first time in the Derek Chauvin trial. And that can help us move forward. And to your question, find a way to actually find some actual solutions, because not only can we not keep going this way, we also aren't going to sustain many more summers of 2020. We barely kept it together emotionally, physically. Our cities, our towns, all over the country barely made it through that first wave of pain. And we're all, you know, triggered. It's not like everyone's healed the world and we're fine now. I haven't even watched the trial because it is purely and entirely too scarring for me to do so. Even the news reports hearing about the trial, it's too triggering from that first event of that video. I couldn't watch that video again if someone paid me to do it. I couldn't be on that jury. It's just, it's too much. And all that pain that we're trying to process and heal through, all that trauma is still there, festering, churning underneath. And we're just hoping that real justice may help us process that and move forward towards solutions. But if the justice is not served, all the trauma is going to come out tenfold.
Okay, so here's my question. I have to ask this question, Michael, because I don't know what else to ask. Should we continue to have peaceful protest, or will we have to move in another direction? If peaceful protest is not working, which I believe it works, but if it's proven not to work anymore, that the police are going to kill whom they want to kill, shoot whom they want to shoot, then should peaceful protest even be a thing anymore? And that's hard for me to form my lips to say, Michael. It's hard.
Hey, and I hear you. I think peaceful protest should always be a thing. I think they can be effective. And we've definitely seen that from this summer. But I don't think, if justice is not served, I don't think the next step is, you know, a new form of protest. I think we saw in the last election the just extraordinary collective power of the African-American vote in this country. And yeah, Biden's in office, that's fine and well. But I think the next step is collective demands, where it's either this is fixed or X, Y, and Z. You know, it's no longer we're just going to march in the streets. It's we don't care what party you're part of, if you're left or you're right, whomever you are, whatever you purport to be. If we don't see actions on these things, we're not putting you in office. We're not supporting your businesses. It's leveraging those 80-something million votes collectively amongst all Americans for Biden, but a significant percentage of those in blue cities of African Americans, especially African American women, leveraging that to maximum effect. And again, we've seen pieces of that over the years. You know, obviously, cancel culture has gotten out of control, but the root of that, where you're leveraging a collective thought through social media against a huge corporation, that at scale, you know, maximized, that's the next step, where it's like we simply will not stand for, as you mentioned, being hunted by police officers. So here is how we're going to react to this.
Well, I do believe in peaceful protest, but I worry that your generation and those that are younger than you are looking at this going, why are we out here? Why are we out here being peaceful? For what? It's continuing. It's continuing daily. Someplace, you know, in the United States, every day, there's more than one African-American person killed. And some people say, well, maybe they deserved it. We don't have the whole story. Really? Let's go back when they weren't shooting you to kill you. They just take a leg out, you know, to stop you from running. I don't understand this. I don't know why it is happening. What have we done that is so egregious to this country that makes us others feel that we deserve this? Look at what's happening to the voting rights. Let's look at what's, it's so much that's being turned backwards. You know, we have it for a few years and a few decades, and then boom, it's got to go.
But again, I hear you, and I have a lot of those same emotions, but I'm just not surprised. I think if we learned anything from the former president, from the movement that supported him, it's just the enormity of racism in this country, how deeply entrenched it is into the fabric of American society. At its very core, it is there. So you ask, what do we do to deserve this? We don't deserve it, full stop. There's nothing that we could have done, or will do to deserve this. This is just who America is. America is deeply racist, and it's baked into our system. So the question is, okay, we know that. What are we going to do about it? So, you know, last time we spoke, you and I cracked jokes about, you know, we hope Biden erases student loans. And, you know, so he's focusing on that and this huge package that just went through. And they had this migrant issue that on the border. And then, of course, Republicans are freaking out about trans rights because that's all they can focus on right now. None of that matters. None of those things. Student loans, all that will be secondary for all politicians, all parties, all groups across the board is this issue. Is not solved. This issue will become the crux of peaceful society. The social contract will be based on this particular issue. And I think that would be the shift. It's don't tell us another word, President Biden, about anything else until justice is served, until you have done something strong, effective, loud towards this particular issue. That's where it would go. But again, there's this just sliver. I won't call it hope, but will wish a wish, a sliver of wish that maybe just once the justice system will work, because if it doesn't, we're going to step two.
And we're going to have to take a break, but when we come back, especially at about 10:32 or 33, we're going to open up the phone lines. If you'd like to join Michael and I, and you have a comment or you want to answer this question, why do you think people of color are hated, especially black people? Why? Why does this happen? What is it about whiteness that thinks or many of them think? I can't say all of them because we know so many. I know so many that work tirelessly for justice, for peace, for equity, equality. Yet every time we hear anything in the news, night after night after night, month after month, and year after year, it always seems to land on a person of color, most often, most often. I have a real hard time with that, but if you'd like to join us, give us a call at 651-989-9226.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
It is now 10:28 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to the Mom and Michael Hour here on WCCO. I'm your host, Geraldine Steele, along with my son, Michael Battle. And we're talking about this event that just happened tonight. They've really been dealing with this for a few hours, but the Star Tribune wrote about an hour and a half ago that the officers, first I need to tell you that we are talking about the Brooklyn Center Police fatally shooting a man, 20 years old, now in flaming tensions during the Derek Chauvin trial. It says here that a Brooklyn Center police officer fatally shot a man during a traffic stop Sunday afternoon today, inflaming already raw tensions between police and activists in the midst of the Derek Chauvin trial. Now, relatives of Dante Wright, 20 years old, who is black, told a tense crowd gathered at the scene in the northern Minneapolis suburb that Wright drove for a short distance after he was shot, crashed his car, and died at the scene. Now, at 9:30 p.m., more than 500 people gathered outside the Brooklyn Center Police headquarters near 67th Avenue North and North Humboldt Avenue. Now, again, this is in Brooklyn Center. And this is where they were met with officers in riot gear, riot gear. Wright was identified by family members, not by authorities. According to Brooklyn Center Police, officers pulled over a vehicle for a traffic violation shortly before 2 p.m. in the 63rd or 6300 block of Orchard Avenue. And this story was continuing to blow up, right? We were really starting to hear more and more and get more information. However, the police have dispersed. The last article I read that they had dispersed, and now this crowd is left to mourn. It's just unbelievable. And we are going to take your calls at the bottom of the hour. The next thing we're going to do is weather. And then your calls will be welcomed at 651-989-9226 or outside the metro area, 1-866-989-9226. We'll be back. You are listening to Steel Talking and the Mom and Michael Hour with my son, Michael Battle. And it's a very difficult night tonight because, once again, a young African-American man at the age of 20 lost his life to police who shot him. You know, as you read a lot of the stories that are in various papers and online, it is quite remarkable that no one said he had a weapon. So far, I haven't read that. Have you read that, Jonathan? I haven't read that.
I have not seen that, no.
No. And also, we've been hearing about how these officers, kind of followed him and shot him, and blood got all over his girlfriend's body. I don't know if she's been injured. I know she was taken to North Memorial. He laid on the ground. One article, the Star Tribune, I believe it was, said that he laid on the ground since 1:47. If that is true, why? What is the protocol? The mother was screaming, begging for them to pick her child up and get him off the street, get him off the pavement. Please put him in the car, put him in an ambulance, but get him off the street, lying there dead for passerbys that could get through to be able to watch and see this man dead for hours. If this is true, it's so frustrating. Let's welcome back my son, Michael Battle. Michael, we know that the phone lines are open if you would like to join us tonight, any of the listeners, at 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226 if you're outside the metro area. For me, the big question is why? Why are we constantly hunted? I don't understand it. It feels like we're being hunted, and I know you feel the same.
Yes, and as I mentioned before, that's who America is, and we've come an extraordinary way from where we began in this experiment called America. But that piece is still in our core, and we went from actually being hunted to now hunted in a different way, and I don't know that people. I'll personalize this. I surely didn't think that police officers were going to, on their own, stop murdering people. But I do hope that if justice is shown, and if it is shown more than once, that there will at least be a deterrent to pull the trigger. You know, that plus some laws, maybe we can get to a point where this is, a horrible accident as opposed to the norm for policing. And you mentioned earlier, you hadn't heard that the young man who was just murdered, if he had a gun. I stopped asking those questions years ago when this thing started, because we have seen, empirically, it doesn't matter if you have a weapon or not, if you run or if you don't, if you're at home walking on the street. It just doesn't matter. There's nothing you can do or say that will prevent a police officer from murdering you if you are a black man in America. That's been shown. What's left is not any sort of question about the events justifying the ethics of the situation or let's look at the background of this or that. It's what are the consequences? That really is the question I ask now, is what are the consequences for murder in this country? If the answer, again, for Chauvin will be nothing, as I mentioned before, that will be the crux of the social contract in America. That'll be the top issue. That'll be the thing that usurps all other issues in our social fabric for African Americans, because we simply can't keep going thinking that at any moment, you know, that could happen to us. And I get it by the numbers of police interactions, a white officer or an officer at all murdering a black man, it happens very few times. We hear about it because of what our country is. So I get that there are all kinds of horrible killings that happen. I mean, good Lord, we just came through 2020. Over 500,000 people died from COVID-19, you know? So there's levels of tragedy and trauma that we are still processing right now. But on this particular issue, I think it's important, even though we're on the tail end of the pandemic, to remind people that, you know, as a young black man in America, I am still afraid to go outside. I still tense up when I see police officers anywhere. No matter what city I'm in, Beverly Hills, Santa Monica, no matter how nice where I am, if I see a police officer go by, I have a twinge of mortal fear. Still now, trauma from the escalation of the systemic racism and systemic murdering of people like me. So that doesn't go away until I have, or rather I can have, some restored faith that our system will actually protect me. Why am I afraid to die every time I leave my house? And why is the number one reason for that fear police officers, as opposed to COVID-19 or something else?
We're going to take calls. Bruce is on the line in Minneapolis. Welcome, Bruce.
Well, good evening, Geraldine, and hi, Michael. Obviously, prejudice is everywhere. How many people have been shot by the cops? Hey, look at how far. Mm-hmm. Maybe I can do it one more time. I'm a cop, don't believe that. And people have very, very low self-esteem.
So you're saying the police officers have low self-esteem?
Well,
is that what you're saying?
The people that are not cops, but like, they just want to make trouble. I think they have low self-esteem. So it makes them look better inside their minds.
I sure appreciate you calling, Bruce. Thank you for
listening. That just went out. So thanks for your time.
All right. You take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Let's go over to Benjamin in Blaine. Hey, Benjamin. Welcome.
Hi. I live in an interesting world. I'm married to an African-descended woman, but I am European-descended myself. Mm-hmm. And so I get the cross-culture on both sides. And the issue is discussed with me from both ends. And one of the things that I think has been difficult for my wife and I is the dichotomy of her standing up and saying our rights matter. And I agree with that absolutely entirely and support the Black Lives Matter movement. And I think Derren Chauvin lost track of the fact that when you have someone in your custody, they're also supposed to be in your care, which is what I think he completely forgot about. But can we stop pretending that everyone that is shot by police is a choir boy coming home from choir practice just on their way? I mean, there were plenty of times where Mr. Floyd had a chance for that to go a different way. And first of all, not committing a crime would have been a good idea. Not resisting arrest, following police officers' commands, and all of those things would have gone a long way to alleviating that situation. And
that is where I have to stop you, sir. That is not true, Benjamin. I can tell you my own story of the police pulling the car over that my daughter was driving, but it was in my name, and said it was a warrant for my arrest. They asked me who I was, and I said, I'm Geraldine Steele. They said, well, I have a warrant for your arrest. And they took me out, handcuffed me, threw me in the back of a police car, drove me to Dakota County. They didn't book me, but they kept me there for hours. And I am telling you that most of the people I know have looked down. They have had to look down the barrel of a police officer's gun. And although you may say, Geraldine, what did you do to deserve that? I did nothing to deserve that. The ticket that I had the warrant for was paid for. Just a moment, please. My ticket was paid for, but it wasn't sent in to the police, the park police, who needed a copy of it. And that's why they handcuffed me, threw me into the car, and took me into Dakota County Jail. If you could understand how just about every sibling of mine has had to look down the barrel of a gun that is held by a police officer, you will understand the pain. If you could just understand that George Floyd was relaxed inside of the store, we've seen the video of him just chilling, just waiting to find out what's going to happen with his cigarettes. Is he going to get the cigarettes? He wasn't flailing and screaming at people. It wasn't like that. So yes, you are correct that it happens sometimes, but not all the time. And that's what I'm trying to stop people from thinking. When we get upset, I'm not saying everybody is a choir boy, as you put it. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there are some people who have guns and they want to go after and get what they want to get, no matter who is killed. I understand that. But that is on all in all races. There is no race in this United States of ours that doesn't have people on that side in their color.
Yes, period. I understand that. You know, there was a very famous quote by I can't remember the guy's name. He was an African-American preacher who said one time, if I live long enough, I expect to see white people brought to the gas chamber by a black Eichmann. And the point he was making was who's ever in power really has the risk of abusing that power. And I see that we're there, and I do hope that this instigates some sort of change. But we really have to keep it peaceful. God, please. Martin Luther King would want it to be that way, and you know that too.
Of course, I think today many of us would. Yes, Michael.
So I see your point, and I also have an interracial relationship. I have a Jewish partner with a Trump-supporting family. So I definitely have had he is not a Trump supporter, but I've definitely had many of the conversations that you've had in your household. But I have shifted to a position where I would hope that we have a society where you can be a mass murderer and be arrested and charged and face your comeuppance in court, as opposed to being killed on the spot. So I'm no longer interested in the ethics around what the person was doing or wasn't doing, because we've seen that police officers can literally arrest a mass murderer without hurting the person. They actually take them to go get a burger to make sure that they're fed and taken care of. So we know
that's
that they
right.
are capable of performing in the way that they should. So whether this young man or someone else had just committed the most heinous crime, I believe in a system and a social contract that says you deserve your day in court. If and when you're proven guilty, you will face your penance then, but not on the spot by a police officer.
And that is the nail on the head. You've hit it perfectly there, is that the police officer, like I said earlier, the police have lost sight of the fact that when you have someone in custody, they are in your care, and you are responsible for them. And
thank you, Benjamin.
You lost sight of that.
I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for calling in and for listening. Let's go over to Diana, the first woman that is joining us tonight. Diana in Hutchinson, welcome.
Hello, Geraldine.
Hello.
This is such a tough topic, and I can't believe we have to talk about it again.
Again.
You know, and I guess when I've been watching some of the George Floyd trial, and I am a white woman, and I've never had to go through what you all have gone through, and it just breaks my heart. And when I see what George Floyd went through, those officers were supposed to de-escalate. The first officer walked up to his van with a gun in his hand, ready to shoot. How did they think he was going to react? You know,
exactly.
There is so much more training these officers need to go through. This is ridiculous.
Well, I tell you, if you can stand to watch the trial, you will hear testimony by other police officers, by those who train them, certain maneuvers and holds that are legal for them to do. So there's been a lot said about that in this trial. So if you can stand it, if you can bear it,
it's really hard to watch.
It is.
But I do want to know the truth, you know, what happened. And it's really hard to watch. I had a little experience of that 8 years ago. I was on a murder trial here in McLeod County. I was a juror. So, but this is just, you know, I find myself getting very, very upset. And I'm not watching all of it, but I'm watching as much as I can just because I want to learn. But I don't understand what is wrong with people treating people different because of how they look.
I know the history of it, but I cannot believe it's still happening.
I know.
2021. I am absolutely stunned by it. But I thank you for calling in, Diana. We needed to hear from you. So thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
You too. All right, Michael, do you want to make any comment about what Diana said?
No, and I think just I'll say her emotion there, her comments there, that malaise of disbelief. I think that's how a lot of us are feeling right now, and some far more severe, where we just say, another one, you know, it's that weight. And then we'll of course go through the media process of learning all the details and forming our opinions and having more conversations. But it's just to the point I've been making this whole time. I'm just not interested in picking away at the ethics of these events. That just the whole situation is not the kind of America I think we should have. Holding on to that wish for justice.
Yeah, this is exactly what the challenge is, Michael, just what the challenge is. We're going to take a break. I believe we have to take a break. Jonathan, is that correct?
Yes.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a moment.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
You know, it does feel like we are broken at times, that is for sure, and this is one of those times right now for me. Welcome back. Thank you all so much for sticking and staying with us here at WCCO. You have been listening to Steel Talkin', the Mom and Michael Hour, our final hour tonight after the Twins, after the Timberwolves. And, of course, it's been very difficult to talk about the shooting in Brooklyn Center. A man is dead, a young man, 20 years old, African-American. His mother heard the shots, and I can just only imagine how devastating that must have been. Michael, we have a couple of minutes. Give us your thoughts.
It's just that weight, that gravity that rests on the shoulders of all Americans, but in particular Black Americans, and even more so Black women in America. And on top of emerging from a pandemic and all the lost loved ones, we are quickly reminded that our past wounds were not healed, rather fester grow infected even worse. So desperately holding on to that wish, short of hope, that wish that justice can be served and that we can see justice returned to our view of policing in this country. Because really, we have not had it yet on this issue. We have not had justice on this issue. And not just, you know, a lawsuit in civil court followed by a paycheck. I'm talking about significant market jail time for murderous police officers in our country.
Exactly. And that is what we are looking at. I have to say to everyone who is listening tonight, I ask for your prayers. I ask for you to stay tuned, to stay informed on what is happening. Watch. And don't just hold it to yourselves. And whatever you see, make sure you say something, do something. It's been a pleasure being here tonight, only for the reason of you and my son. Thank you, Jonathan, for making it happen tonight. And I pray that something better, something much bigger and better happens tomorrow. Until then, take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.